Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
For most of you, this will be familiar passages, maybe a reminder in some ways. Not that we forget, okay? Not that our mind forgets. It's just that, you know, there's sometimes we know some things, and we know that we know them, but they kind of just kind of settle back here somewhere, and they aren't always at the front of our mind. And this morning, these are some things I believe that we need to keep at the forefront of our mind on a continual basis. Easy access, right? Within reach, within our recall, things to remember prior to doing something or having something at work in us that is improper for a believer. And so you're going to hear some familiar scriptures. Please don't think, I know that one. I know where he's going. I know what he's going to say. I'm glad that you do. Glad you know those things. But maybe entertain them like they're falling on fresh ears, on a heart that's open, with an understanding for some of us who are veterans in the faith, as we might consider our time walking with the Lord, and know that we still need some changing. We need some tuning. We need some things that still need to be finished in us. Okay? So, in James chapter 1, verse 15, he writes, you know, James, that five chapters, just by the way, if you are a newer believer and you're saying, you know, I'm not sure where to read, I'm not sure, this Christian life is new and all those things, I want to encourage you to get to the book of James, and it's in the New Testament, and it's more over to the right end of the book, and those five chapters talk a lot about practical Christian living and things that we need to keep in mind as we walk with the Lord and live out our faith, private and public, on a daily basis. I just want to recommend that to you, okay? So in James chapter 1, verse 15, he says, after desire has conceived, all right, get the whole conception thing going on, all right? Something inside us, there's this thought, there's this idea, there's this desire. It's in there. Could be about anything. If it's evil, if it's wrong, so it's out of bounds for us as Christians, once that is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. So I know that's kind of a contrary thought because we're talking about conceiving sin and it grows and then it, you know, it gives birth, you know, full grown, it gives birth to death. That's what sin does. The example is, you know, think of a pregnant woman. Only the thing is, that's a blessing and that's good. But the principle is the same, right? She conceives, doesn't even necessarily show up right away. You know, it's not like the next day, you know. I got a daughter-in-law who pregnant again. Grandparents. You hardly know she's even pregnant. Not that I'm staring at your tummy, honey. But Naomi, she just carries these babies and, you know, people say, oh, I didn't even know you were pregnant, you know, that kind of thing. Well, you do now because you all know, I told you. But, yeah, but, so you don't always notice right away. You know, when we conceive evil or a thought or an attitude or whatever it is, You know, we're not always attuned to it right away. And it starts to grow. And you and I better take care of that in our life. And, you know, these babies, 9 months, give or take, out comes this beautiful baby, birth to life. I want you to know the principle is the same, only it gives birth to death in our life, spiritually. That's what sin does. Listen, it might pleasure our flesh in some way, but I will tell you, I promise you, okay? I'm old enough. I've been around the block a few times, okay? And I'm telling you that sin will, it's going to rob you. It will take advantage of you. It will eventually destroy you. The pleasure that you feel you've gotten from it, later on, the cost of that is going to be so much greater than the little bit of fleshly pleasure that you thought was so great at one time. And that's what sin will do. Yeah, I want you to remember, the enemy comes to do what? A lot of you answered. I couldn't understand you all. But it sounded like you gave three answers. Thank you. Shirley Dolby, you're now. It was Shirley Dolby. Everyone at home, it was Shirley Dolby sharing, the local theologian. Yeah. Thanks, son. That's right. Enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Hear this. This is what his plan is for you. Don't be mistaken. Don't be deceived. That's what his plan is for you. But the Lord came that you would have life and abundantly. Okay? He offers grace, mercy, forgiveness, all those things that bring life to us. His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, to bring to us life and everlasting. So I want you to keep this progression in mind. Of the moment we conceive or think something, or something happens to us, somebody maybe does something to us, and in our heart we're offended, we're hurt. You might feel hatred, you might feel vengeful, whatever it is. You might be bitter towards that. It's just, and if we don't take care, I'll tell you, if we don't take care of that right away, it's going to grow. And I want you to know, it's going to come out somewhere. It's going to give birth. It's going to show up. And you can think, I got it managed. I'm okay. It's not a big deal. But you know, it's always rolling around in your mind and in your heart. And you know, you're driving your car and all of a sudden you're thinking about that person or this or that or whatever went on. And you're grinding and you're just, it's growing. It's growing, and it's going to come out somewhere. It's going to give birth somewhere. I'm telling you and I, we had better take care of that right away. You know, Mark chapter 7, 20 through 23, Jesus speaking. You know, he says, from within, out of the heart comes, and he lists a bunch of things, but evil thoughts. Do you pay attention in life to what you're thinking? Have you ever paid attention to what you're thinking? To the point that you catch yourself thinking inappropriately, opposite to what God tells us to do. Thinking, and you go, wait a minute, I'm paying attention to what I'm thinking. I should not be thinking like that. Obviously, there's something down in here that's happened. Or sin is taking root. I've conceived something, and now it's growing, and it's taking up space in my mind. It's starting to grow. Have you ever interrupted yourself and just said, you're not supposed to think like that? And you stop it right now. Listen, we're really good as parents correcting our kids. How good are we at correcting ourselves? Educators, teachers, you're really great at teaching your students. Homeschool teachers, you're really great at teaching your kids. Is the teacher able to teach themselves, correct themselves, instruct themselves? So, you know, this isn't a right attitude. And I got to stop blaming it on personality or this is the way I grew up or blah, 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 or God understands. You and I need to take charge and pay attention to what we're thinking when our mind drifts. Our mind is just drifting. We're driving along, we're walking along, we're working on a project, we're cooking in the kitchen, we're shopping, blah, 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 whatever it is. And our mind is drifting. We're having thoughts. Pay attention. Take charge. Because something has been conceived and something's trying to grow. I want you to interrupt your drifting thoughts when they are improper for a believer. Don't let it go. Be militant about that. Be militant about that in your own life. Be assertive, be aggressive. Don't be friendly with it. Old Testament and New. Leviticus chapter 20, and in different places throughout the scripture it says this. And God conveys, he says, I'm your God and I'm holy. Be holy, for you are my people, and I have set you apart to be and look different and act different than all the other peoples of the earth. New Testament puts it this way. Be holy as I am holy. Now, we know it takes his grace and mercy. We know that it takes the righteousness of Jesus to be put into us because we don't have any of our, we don't have any righteousness of our own. We're to be holy because he's holy. We're to be marked by him, set apart. You understand that through Christ and God's love for you, he has set you apart to be sacred. Holy for him. It's a relationship. We discover who he is and what he's like and to live a life that looks like who he is. And that takes a work of the Spirit and it takes some failure on our part and repentance and forgiveness. It comes through relationship with him. It's not just about do's and don'ts. It's about through this relationship with him. And as we follow him and become like him and worship him and count on him and lean on him and learn his way, I want you to know that the do's and don't list, those boxes just get checked. Because we start to follow him. We start to look like him. He set you apart. Hear this. He chose you. I want you to picture recess back when you were a kid. Two captains. Everybody else lines up. And they start picking and choosing. I want you to know God's one of the captains. This is what he's done. I pick you. Yeah, I'll pick you. You. How about you? You. You. You guys kind of get the matching color thing. Did she set that out for you? Bookends. Pick you. You. Why are you on my team? Yep. You. He picks you. He chooses you. Okay? He knows you. He chose you. Turn to a couple people around and say, he chose you. 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 Harry, he chose you. So we become like him. We've got to pay attention to the things that are conceiving in us that are not from him. They're of our flesh, they're of ourself, they're the world, of the enemy. Just these things that are not becoming for a believer. We got to pay attention Because it's at the point of conception. If we don't deal with that, it's going to grow. And one day, it's going to give birth. And it just happened through time, slowly growing. Slowly. Yeah. Listen, you're 7 years old at school. You're not probably just going to decide one day at 7 years old, I'm going to go rob a bank. No. You're going to go steal something small from some other kid's desk or backpack. And the thing is, you're gonna feel like you got away with it. Because nobody saw. There were no repercussions. The teacher didn't know. You saw the kid looking for whatever, but, you know, you were so evil at 70. He says, oh, let me help you look for it. The whole time you got it. It was little. And then, you know, into teens and it changes and it's more drastic and it's, you know, bigger and it's deeper and more scheming and more, and adult. And see, it grows. It grows. I don't care what it is in life, when it's conceived, it grows. It's the way it is. Everything. Both the things that are good and the things that are evil. It's a principle of progression. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes, he says, there must not be among you even a hint of sexual immorality or things that are improper or greed, and let me just translate that. It's not just greed for stuff. It's the desire for more of what you've experienced that's wrong. It grows. It grows. It's a principle of progression. You know, it's interesting that it says, but among you there must not be. Because understand, among us, if we allow something in our life, and as it grows in us, as we think about it, we dream about it, our mind drifts about it, we develop an attitude, an appetite for it, whatever it is, I want you to know that it shouldn't be just in our, not in our life, but it shouldn't be among us because that stuff spreads. Let me show you how it works. You get bitter. Something happened. You get bitter towards somebody or a group of people or whatever it is. And it's grown enough that one day the birthing process starts. It comes out of your mouth and you share it with somebody. And they look at this baby bitterness and it impacts their life. And they can develop a bitterness and attitude towards the person or people that you have bitterness towards. And now there are two. And now you develop a camp. It grows. It spreads among us. See, this isn't just about what goes on in you. You're a part of a body. You're a part of the church. And it can spread. You think it's just you and your little thing. It's going to give birth somewhere. It's going to show up. It's going to come out of your mouth. And somebody else is going to hear it. And it's going to cause them to maybe question that person or these people, whatever. And this is just about bitterness. It could be a variety of things. It says among us, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, any kind of impurity, or the greed or the hunger of always wanting more of the same. It says these are improper for God's holy people. You remember, I've used this scripture, I've told this story years ago in a sermon. I don't know if you remember or not, I talked about the Jell-O. Anybody remember that? If you don't raise your hand, I'm not offended. Okay, do you remember the story? Not many of you. Any of you who are younger, remember the story? Okay, then I got to tell the story. Okay, for those of you who have heard it, we'll wake you up when I'm done. The rest of you, okay, so university's over. I'm going off to my first place of full-time ministry in London, Ontario, Canada, right between Detroit and Toronto. Rather large church, anywhere from 8 to 13 pastors on staff. And this is where I started as a junior high school, and college and career pastor. That was my first position there. And they get the apartment that I'm going to live in because I couldn't just hop over there, you know. It's like, yep, I trust you. Get the apartment I'm going to live in. Something simple and please, not expensive. And, you know, made my way, and my parents shipped me off with some basics, you know. Here's an old metal kitchen table. I bought a couple of metal lawn chairs. Had a dresser, had a single bed frame, box spring, and mattress. And here's a few old pots and pans and some silverware that my grandmother bought over time at a grocery store if you spend so much, you get like a fork. And then you get to spend, I don't know if any of you remember those days, and she gave me, you know, that stuff. So anyhow, I move out. I'm in another country and still North America. I know it's not like third world or anything. So I move to this place, and I've got stuff set up in the apartment, and then I realize I'm hungry. No cafeteria. No mommy. And I figure, well, I'm going to go to the grocery store. And I come home, and I start to cook. I find myself over this stovetop with a pot, and I'm stirring it. And I am making lime Jell-O. It's a packet, and it's water, and it's on a stove. It qualifies as cooking. Put it in the bowl, and put it in the refrigerator, and I have to let it set so it gets jiggly. You know, it's done later that day. Get a scoop out, put it in the bowl, put the rest back, put Saran over it. Single guy had Saran wrap. Okay, so in the fridge, eat the Jell-O. Tastes like mom's. I did it right. It's good. I can take care of myself. Next day, Jell-O. Put it back. Oh, it's good. Well, about 2 weeks go by. Late at night, I'm hungry. I'm like, yep, fridge is pretty empty. Bowl. And, hey, Jell-O! Whoa. There's some white little foamy dots on a part of the side of the bowl and on the Jell-O top. So I do what any good bachelor does. I turn the bowl, scoop from the other side, put it in here, put it back, put it in the fridge. Jell-O. Busy ministry, all this kind of stuff going on. You know, met Sue. My mind was drifting. I'm hungry. It's, I don't know, randomly a couple weeks later, whatever it is. Jell-O. The bowl, spoon, put it back. Pow! I mean, white foam, bubble, purples, gray colors. Mold just was, I couldn't see the Jell-O. It's covered. So I did really good. I scraped off the, no, I kid you. Go outside the apartment, open the garbage chute. Ka-tung, 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 you can hear it. I wasn't going to walk. Uh-uh. I ain't touching that. They don't make rubber gloves high enough for me to do that. It all started with just a hint of mold. Tiny piece. And over time, it overtook it. And it was this living scripture that came from Jell-O. You didn't take care of it. It was just a hint. And over time, it took it over. You see, you and I got to take care of it when there's just a hint of something going on in here. Just a hint of bitterness. We got to deal with that offense or whatever it is, or the desire we conceive, or the thought we have, and the plan, and then our mind drifts, and the next thing you know, we are building an argument for our desire to be acceptable to us and to God. And he said, don't even let this start. Don't let it be conceived. Deal with it. Abort this evil within us. Be militant about it. Don't even let there be a hint, because it affects your life. But it's also, when it's birthed, it's going to affect others. That's why you and I need to take care of this in our own life. But understand, your sin is not just your sin. It affects this body once that sin gives birth. And it starts coming out. And it starts showing up. Ephesians 4, it says, get rid of or put away all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, every form of malintent or maliciousness. The list goes on. It says, get rid of all of that. Do not hang on to it. Do not keep it. Get rid of it. Put it away. It doesn't belong. If it is sin, then there's a conviction about it, or his word instructs you. Listen, do not mess with it. Don't think I can handle it. I can keep it hidden. It'll stay small. It'll never overtake me. You know, I want you to remember Jell-O. We have a responsibility to take charge. You know, Galatians 6, verse 7, and there's other places. It talks about when we sow something, it's supposed to grow. Whether it's evil or whether it's to the spirit, if it's to the flesh, it's going to be trouble. It's going to be something that decays. It's going to eventually decay our life. Something's going to destroy. If we sow to the spirit, we will reap, right? If we wait in time, we will reap life. Some good thing from God, because we planted it right. We did it right. Listen, So my wife likes planting a garden. And she plants stuff. And it grows. And when the deer don't eat it, there's fruit to harvest. Now, she also likes to decorate outside. So there's cute things in the garden, and cute things in front of the house, and around the back, and on the deck, and, you know, she likes to. She loves to go to, like, secondhand stores and yard sales and garage sales and, you know, dig through all that stuff. Thank you for a five-letter word. And likes to bring it home and, you know, use stuff as a decoration that was never served. It was never made for that purpose. It was made to be used for something, but she's gifted at it. She's good at it. So part of the thing in fall is she loves, okay, she likes to get some corn stalks and put them up, tie them up and put them against the door. And it looks really nice, but, you know, it's highly impractical. You open the screen door, the corn's getting in your way and the stalk, you close it and half the thing is in the door. And she gets pumpkins. She doesn't carve them or anything. She just gets them, and then, you know, they got to have one with the, she likes ones with the big vine thing dried up hanging off, and she likes princess pumpkins. And I never knew there were so many different pumpkins till she enlightened me. I thought they were just orange pumpkin. There's white ones. There's ones with multicolors. There's ones that get all gnarly looking, and you're like, but she brings it home. And so just, it's beautiful. So what happened is, last fall, I thought I heard crows. I was like, okay. Release the ravens. Okay, so anyhow, so they got rid of the big pumpkins because I learned something, that if you let them sit too long, they get slurpy, slimy, fall apart, and it's a mess. So, you know, I dispose of them, okay? Well, there were two smaller pumpkins. One was white, about like this, and there's one that was a little bit smaller, and it was white and had some dark lines in it or whatever. I don't know their names, okay? You could tell me, but I don't really care. So, anyhow, it's a pumpkin, all right? Well, they went through the winter, and under the snow, and in spring, okay, I said, you never move those two pumpkins. No, I'm kidding. I didn't say it. So I was like, they're all, so got a shovel and disposed of them. Okay? Got it gone. Shortly after, there were these little sprouts coming up in the spring where those pumpkins were. I started thinking, wait a minute. Some seeds must have got under the bark, and now they're. There's a little group going like this. I said, Sue, you're growing pumpkins. She said, there's these little sprouts. I said, can you transplant those and put them out by the garden somewhere or whatever? And she goes, yeah. So she goes and she gets these and she takes them and she plants them in what was an old wheelbarrow part that now is on the ground that she plants stuff in. Because it's cute. And yes, it is. She's cute. Cute stuff, cute gardener. Okay. So, sorry, my mind drifted there. All right, so. I don't know. It was a little while later. And in the same spot, a couple little sprouts came. I said, Sue. And now they're starting to get like this. I said, Sue, does that look like pumpkin to you? Because I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what pumpkin leaves look like. I just know the pumpkin. And they're in that spot, and they started small. And she said, oh, well, yeah, we'll just leave them. Okay. We're going to be pumpkin farmers. Back up the truck and put out the sign. Honor system. Buck a pumpkin. Yeah, I'm kidding. We're not doing this. You guys are like, where do you live? What's your address? I'm coming this fall. I want some pumpkin. So we left them right by our front door area and our driveway, our sidewalk. I want you to look at these. This is the front of my house. My wife used to park where that's going into the driveway. My wife used to park her Jeep there. I noticed she started parking further back down the driveway, and I'm like, you're parked. She goes, yeah, the pumpkins are. couple little seeds. Thought we got it all. They start going like this, and then poof. Now, here's the thing. It's only July. Do you know when you harvest pumpkins? Come on, farmers, tell me. October. And not October 1st, like into October, right? We're going to be parking on the street. Now, you've seen a little pumpkin down here, but back in the forest there, they're starting to grow. This is my driveway. Is that your spiritual life? Because there's something down in there that you didn't dig out. And you thought it was no big deal. See, when it first happened, because I'm not a pumpkin farmer. I just buy the orange ones. They're in a pile at some farm or at some store. I'm not the guy who goes out to the strawberry patch, you know. Big strawberry, and you see all the plants in the rows. Oh, let's get pumpkins. Let's go out. It'll be fun to go out into the farmer's field and pick your own pumpkin. Go have a good time. I love to eat the strawberries and the blueberries she brought home, and JR got her going. I'm picking blueberries. I love that. Bring it home. She made a pie. I'm good. But I'm not going. So I don't know what pumpkin patches look like, but I do now. And it just started with some stuff we didn't see. And they went like this. And we thought we dealt with it. Ooh. And then a little more showed up. We decided to leave it. And now, it has altered our lifestyle. Now, I want you to think about this. What are you leaving that needs to be tended to before it looks like this? Because when it stayed within the barky thing area, what do you call that? Wood chips, bark, whatever it is. Mulch, that's it. Thank you. I only shovel it and rake it. I don't know what it's called. So, I'm kidding. It's growing. I thought, well, maybe it probably won't grow a pumpkin. I'm thinking it'll just kind of be like a little flowering bush. It'll stay in bounds. You stay there. I live out here. Oh, no. It's taken over. Sidewalk, forget. Driveway? I don't know. Come October, I might take a picture just to update you. But I want you to hear this. It didn't stay where it was. It grew. And don't think for a moment that you can keep your tiny little thing of sin in your closet or in a bowl with Saran hidden in a fridge. It's going to grow. Don't even let there be a hint when it comes to sin. Something God's convicting you about. Something that you don't have liberty and freedom for. Something against his word. We're to be holy as he's holy. Don't deceive yourself. You know, most of you know all these scriptures. But I want you to see what happens in my life and yours. And it will affect the whole body. don't you stand up with me, please? One of the things that tricks us is that we allow something to take root, conceive, and we let it grow a little bit. And we think it's manageable. We think it's no big deal. Or we got away with it. Nobody knew. Or it didn't bring a bunch of trouble. Do you remember that principle that if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap of the Spirit of life? It says, don't grow weary, but just wait. In due time, you will reap a harvest. I want you to know that the principle of progression, whether it's good or evil, is the same. The principle is the same. And if it's evil, and you think you're getting away with it, or it's not a big deal, or nobody knows about it, or you can handle it, or whatever it is, whether it's an action of sin or an attitude of the heart, it's like you're living the same and this has grown. And the principle of progression is just wait. We're going to reap a harvest of whatever it is that we've conceived or planted, wherever we've sown. The principle is just wait. Wait. It's small now. It's hidden now. No one really knows. You're doing really good covering it up. Just wait. Just wait. Just wait. It's going to keep growing. And God doesn't want you destroyed. And he doesn't want you destroying his body of believers. I want you to carry this stuff with you in your daily, weekly life. And I want you to pay attention. God wants us to pay attention of where our mind goes when it drifts. Pay attention to your thoughts. When you're having those conversations with yourself or with the person and they're not there, whatever it is, dig that up and get rid of it. And if it creeps up, then you didn't get rid of it all. Like the picture. Thought we got rid of it. Pay attention to this stuff. It matters to God. And it matters to other people. We're not here to throw stones at anybody. We're not here to throw stones at each other. This is your personal, private business. But at some point, it doesn't stay private anymore. If it's sin, you feel a conviction, but you know better, it's going to give birth somewhere. So sow to the Spirit, you and I. Choose where we sow. Choose to what we dig up and dig up thoroughly and dispose of. Arrest your thoughts. Be militant about that. And live a peaceable, joyful life before God and before people. There's enough trouble in this life. Let's not add to it by not taking care of spiritual business in our life.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.